This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here on this lovely Saturday morning until 11 o'clock. So yeah. Feel free to get online early if you'd like. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we are broadcasting, simulcasting on the YouTubes and the Facebooks. So if you want to check out a couple of pasty white computer geeks, we're there. And also everything gets posted over at our Facebook page over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network by Mike G. He'll post it there and over on our X feed as well, so you can get the links we talk about. You don't have to Google them.
Right.
Google doesn't work anymore anyways.
Yeah, I mean, with the AI getting in the way, I mean, the rank BS that I'm seeing in some of these things is just incredible.
Lots of slop, lots of slop. Oh, yeah, and even Carolyn might get in on that action. Oh. What do you got, Carolyn?
One more time. This is a reminder why you should not trust AI.
Yeah.
Because I was Googling stuff about, it's spring cleaning season.
Yeah.
So I was looking some stuff up. AI told me to mix bleach and vinegar. And you should never do that.
No.
I didn't mean.
So when I read that, I went, what?
I would know if you shouldn't do that. I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, that's
doing
how you
it.
Make chlorine gas.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's actually very bad. So I was appalled, terrified, and shocked to see that come up as a search result.
Wow. So what did you decide to do? What was your cleaning mixture you finally figured out?
You can use one of those.
One or the other.
Mix them.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was like, oh, no, that's not good.
That's not good. I play with chlorine all the time with my pool. 30,000 gallons of paint, I'll tell you, is what a pool is. But I figured out how to solve that with if you have ever battled your pool and it's green and you're having trouble maintaining a pool, I have solved it. Now, it took me 25 years to figure this out, but it's all about the baking soda.
Oh.
And you just go to buy baking soda and get that alkalinity correct. If you get that alkalinity correct, I promise you, and all you do is you just dump in baking soda based on how many gallons of pool water you have. Your pool will be perfect. You don't need to go and do anything crazier than get that alkalinity perfect, and then the chlorine will work. Everything else works. It just falls into place, Dennis.
Very nice.
But I didn't have to Google it. It was just a lot of 25 years for me to figure that out. You wouldn't believe how many pool chemicals I purchased over 25 years to solve these issues, and all it was baking soda. So we digress, but thank you, Carolyn. AI, another dangerous thing there. Who knows? We have another AI story that's even sillier than that. But Dennis has got another topic we want to talk about, thanks to Microsoft.
Right. Yeah. Now, we've talked a lot about BitLocker, which is Microsoft's Windows built-in disk encryption.
Right.
It's built into the Pro operating systems, and there's a way to use BitLocker to encrypt partitions on hard drives with the home version, but there are some hurdles with that.
Right.
You have to sign in with a Microsoft account and some other issues.
But, and just real quick, the reason you want to encrypt it is, let's say you leave your laptop on your car seat and somebody opens it up and takes it, and it's got all sorts of important information that you wouldn't want the bad guys, anybody to see, let's say. It's encrypted. They can't see it.
Right. They can't even just take the drive out and then read it because it'll encrypted. Just be an encrypted block of
garbledy gook.
Right.
However,
there is a problem with this, and it turns out there is a way to essentially bypass the BitLocker encryption and
easily
end up reading the drive. And it is pretty easy to do if you know what you're doing.
Which is mind-blowing for us.
It doesn't require, it doesn't require a lot of equipment. It doesn't even require much data itself to run the code that does the bypass.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really notable about this particular exploit, it was revealed by a former Microsoft developer who claims that he was laid off by Microsoft and left destitute.
Wow. How can you be a former developer at Microsoft? Did you not manage your stock portfolio very well?
See, this is the part that I can't account for, but apparently this person is very disgruntled.
I guess.
And they are going after Microsoft by revealing problems with their code.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. And again, if you're part of the Department of Defense contractor workers, you have to encrypt everything and or HIPAA data or whatever you want to, any kind of important information, you want to encrypt it. It turns out it's very simple to decrypt.
Right.
And or get access to. Now, if you have a code, if you put in a some sort of a login code on the BIOS, they can't do anything to get past that.
Correct.
But if there isn't one,
then this bypass is right inside. There. Right.
So it's nothing the bad guys can do remotely. But again, you wouldn't typically do it remotely anyways, because if you're already logged in, guess what? You've decrypted it.
Correct. Because it is decrypted while the computer itself is running.
Right.
But the bottom line is it requires physical access to the entire system.
Yeah.
I don't even think this bypass will work if somebody were to take the drive out and then plug it into another computer, but I don't. It might. I don't think so.
So this is interesting.
I think it requires the whole computer.
We're going to put the link to the story up there so you can read about it. But Microsoft's been warned before, and the reason he's gone public too, though, is because he warned them and they didn't do anything about it.
Well, he released some other kind of an exploit previously that wasn't really all that notable.
Yeah,
this one is much bigger, and it really caught some eyes.
Yellow key or something like that?
Yes, that's what it's called.
So just when you thought your drive was encrypted, Microsoft, it's not.
Right. And it kind of bothers me because we're telling people to say, you know, encrypt your drive with BitLocker for all these reasons that are really very good. But then Microsoft is running around behind us handing out keys to the kingdom that we didn't even know about until now.
Yeah, so, we would never have guessed there. Well, it's Microsoft, so it wouldn't have been hard for us to guess, but generally we wouldn't have guessed this would have been a thing. Generally, when you encrypt something, it's really hard to decrypt it without the proper keys.
Correct.
In this case, it's not that hard. It has to do with where a file is located. Finding that file is really pretty simple steps, and then you can get access to the data. So this is not good news if you're Microsoft. In other news, if you're in the AI world, you know, poor Carolyn's mixing chemicals to create chlorine gas to clean her home there, thanks to AI. In this case, AI, we've talked about these technologies, right? So you go to your doctor and they're working really hard on trying to figure out what's wrong with you or what's right with you. And they put everything into a health system, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to have a medical record about the appointment. They're going to take notes. And, you know, if you think about it, your doctor is spending more time with her hands on the keyboard than actually talking to you.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. And in this technology, if it was good, could solve that, where the doctor could actually ignore the computer, have the computer just listen to the actual visit and take notes. It's called a scribe, right? I mean, there's actually, you know, if you've been to some offices, they actually pay scribes to sit there and listen to what's going on. I mean, I was a dermatologist, and there's a scribe. I mean, dermatology is kind of like, you know, you're out there, they're looking at everything, every inch of you, and there's this person sitting there taking notes about what the doctor's saying they're finding. And now you can use AI. However, 60% of the evaluated systems are mixing things up and hallucinating on top of it.
No.
Yeah, they're making up stuff completely. Like, in this case, 9 out of 20 of the AI systems reportedly fabricated information, made suggestions to patients' treatment plans that weren't even discussed in the recordings.
What?
According to the report, evaluators spotted potentially devastating incorrect information in the sample report, such as no masses being found or patients being anxious, even though these things were never even discussed in the recordings. So they're also inserting incorrect drug information into the patient notes.
Oh, now that is very bad. Very bad.
17 of the systems missed key details about patients' mental health issues that were discussed in the recordings. 6 of the systems missed the patient's mental health issues fully or partially, or missing key details. So this all the AI is being asked to do is record it. It's not. It's like not even a hard thing. You know, take a memo.
Well, here's the thing. It's
and then
not,
summarize it.
It's not taking the input and then even coming up with a response.
Right.
It's just taking the input and then trying to save it in electronic format.
So, yeah.
I mean, it should be only half the job that a language model does.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I've got a
family. And it doesn't even do it right, apparently.
It's not even doing it right. I've got a family member who changed doctors, and the new doctor noticed, hey, it says here in your chart that your carotids are blocked 90%+. And of course, this was a surprise to this family member. And so she goes and gets all sorts of tests done. And of course, they do the scans. They're like, your carotids are not blocked at all. So whose record got into her record, right? Where they noted something completely incorrect. So there's a person walking around with 90% blocked carotids that is a ticking time bomb. I mean, she was so nervous about it, she didn't even want to move her head while she was getting her hair cut before she had the test done, right? So, and that's a
bad
human error, right? Yeah. Imagine AI screwing it up to the point where you're hallucinating. So we shouldn't be there. I mean, I hope the day comes when it is valuable, where you're going to have the AI actually interpret the information, listen to the actual visit, and then maybe even suggest things that the doctor didn't think of, because they're human. Let's say you're the last appointment, they're sick and tired of, you know, doing whatever they're doing, and the AI actually makes a better suggestion. That's where we hope this will go. But we don't want it to hallucinate and make wrong decisions. So we'll put the link up here for you and take a look at it. I suspect this is a ways out before, I mean, if this is the Ontario health system that's testing these things, it's probably not in your record here in America yet, but it could be. Lots of AI is being tested and played with.
Well, here's the thing. What one AI does, another one might. I mean, you have no way to know.
Yeah.
That's the whole issue with AIs.
So it's not quite as intelligent as we'd hoped. It is artificial. So they've got that right.
Artificial.
They've got that right. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We've got three lines open for you now. 860-522-9842 is the number. We are actually here. We are not artificial.
We are
carbon-based units with our skulls full of mush, as folks would say. Here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns until 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. Yeah, we're celebrating, I guess, because you're graduating with your edumacation. It's graduation time. And that's why Carolyn's posting all the celebratory music here for you. Good luck as you commence.
You commence your commencements.
Yes, you commence adulting, and you're becoming hopefully gainfully employed with your new degree. Hopefully, it's of value. That's all I can say. I hope it is. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Fred in West Hartford, who's got a question. What's going on, Fred?
Good morning. Eureka.
Eureka, yes.
I have a question. I want to do remote work wirelessly.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what laptop, book, et cetera, what type of piece of equipment you would recommend for a company that uses a program called Versus, which I believe you're familiar with.
I have heard of Versus before, but I'm trying to think of where we've seen it. Is it a medical product?
No, it's a sales program.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that's used by a company in East Hartford.
Gotcha. So if you're going to use any kind of product remotely, number one, there would be a spec that Versus is going to tell you you should use, and there may be a method that your company is going to want you to use to connect to the Versus system. Is the Versus system on-prem at the company you work for, or is it in the cloud?
I believe it's dedicated.
On-prem. They have a server in-house?
Yes.
Okay. So they're going to have a methodology for you to connect to the system remotely. They're going to have hopefully a VPN connection that you're going to connect to their network securely, and then you're going to maybe get to a remote desktop terminal server type of situation where you're going to run the system remotely that way.
They may also have it so that it's hosted in a web server, and you would just connect inside that.
But generally, most specs of this level would be more like an i7, 16 to 32 gigs of RAM, and a solid-state hard drive. Now, watch it on the solid-state hard drive these days. It's really getting expensive. It's crazy. You're going to probably find a half a terabyte or a terabyte drive, typically. You'd want to get a newer generation. An ultra processor would be a current generation processor, and hopefully your company's buying it for you.
No.
Well, the reason we want them to buy it for you, Fred, is because they should be putting on the proper security protocols on the device rather than you picking up this computer.
And right.
Yeah, they'll have the provider or the servicer put on the dog, so to speak.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
But the thing is, but you got to buy it, huh?
I will submit the bill. We'll see whether they're generous and supportive and happy to have me work remotely instead of in the cubicle there.
Gotcha.
Chained
to the desk.
Yes.
So you're going to probably look at 1,500 or so laptop. We recommend HP. There's Dell out there, Lenovo as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to default to HP. But
is that the price or the model?
The price usually. You're going to spend around $1,500 on typical laptops. The model will depend. You can get a very small footprint with maybe a 14-inch screen, which are going to be a little more expensive. You can get 16-inch screens on these, which may be a little less expensive. It really just comes down to what your needs are and how portable you want to be. I assume you're going to attach some external monitors to this, Fred?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So then it comes down to how small of a screen you want if you're only going to use the laptop. And if you want...
I'm visually challenged. I'm 77, so I need a larger display.
Yeah. So you're going to end up with a 16-inch screen then probably on the laptop. And then if you're not going to attach any other monitor to it, that you're not going to get a 17 or 18-inch display these days. Usually they're too... heavy.
They are
hard to find.
They get really unwieldy when you get over 16.
Yeah. I don't want to carry around a mega structure there, so to speak.
No. So yeah, I mean, those are your standard specs these days if you can find them. The other issue is trying to find this stuff right now is a little harder too. So if you're within our client base, just give us a call. Yeah. We'll hook you up.
Oh, good. I will on Monday.
Sounds excellent.
Thank you.
You got it, Fred.
I'm sure you probably know the company in East Hartford. Your people have been there.
Possibly, but I'm not going to guess.
Definitely. That's okay.
All right, Fred.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Healthy day, and
we'll be in touch. Talk to you Monday.
Great. One thing.
Yes, sir.
One thing. Your second in command audio does not always come in as strong as your voice there.
Really?
You might want to listen. Yeah.
Okay.
His sliders.
You might want to listen to a
recording.
Somebody who's not on site with a radio, with an old radio, and or balance the audio. The audio engineer would know.
Gotcha.
About that.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you very much, Fred. You got it, sir. Bye-bye. Right.
Well, thank you for the heads up, even if you can't hear me.
Yeah, your slider is exactly the same as mine. So, and the needle's moving. I don't know. You got to enunciate, I guess, there, Dennis. No, I don't know.
Enunciate.
Let's go on with your calls. We're going to, I'm going to the bottom of the hour here. Let's get Bob's question out of, I think it's Texas. Hey, Bob, what can we do for you? We may have to hold you over the news, sir.
Oh, that's all right. I'm down in Texas. I used to live in Connecticut, but
no.
I picked the right winter to move.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Because my sister lives in the Villages, and she went back for a doctor's appointment there, and she went back on Friday. She got up Monday, and she had 30 inches of snow in the driveway. So she lived in the next town over. She lived in Enfield. I lived in Windsor Locks.
Gotcha.
But anyhow, I'm getting involved in that Whatnot auction site. And now they're telling me that I got to be hardwired to make it work right, or otherwise they're, they're buffering and all that stuff. And the other night I tried to have a trial auction with my son in Florida and a couple other people, and there was buffering and all that stuff was going on.
All right.
But the only problem is I ordered a Wi-Fi extender, mm-hmm. and it does have a.
Before you go too far, Bob, before you go too far, we're coming up against the break here, like I said, for the bottom of the hour news. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll pick you back up after the news, all right?
Yep,
so we'll see if we can help Bob and his whatnot auction. I wonder if that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a market, an online market.
Sounds good. Yeah. We'll help him out after this. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number, and hopefully we're not buffering. Moving exactly the same. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, but we thank Fred for that insight.
We would never know otherwise. You know?
So going back to Bob and his whatnot auctions, and I've checked out whatnot during the break here. I don't know. You guys are into all sorts of stuff. I can't keep up with it. And it's like an eBay, right, Bob?
It's like an eBay, yes. But, you know, the problem with Dennis, that's always been a problem with your guy before, too. Whoever you had there before, I forgot his name.
Bob Shorey.
Yeah, and it's always been a problem. Whoever your secondhand man was, you could hardly hear him when you were on the phone.
Weird. When you're on the phone.
And I complained about that before, too.
Interesting. So it's not on the broadcast. It's on the phone you can't hear him.
It's on the phone. He always sounds like he was... He was 10 miles away, and...
Didn't know that.
And I've always complained about that, and I complained about it a couple of times, because I called you guys all the time.
Gotcha.
I complained about it a couple of times when I called you guys.
It's a phone system thing, then. We have no power over that. Interesting.
You know, but... Yeah. Now they're saying the best for me to be hardwired.
Yeah.
And now they're telling me I got to learn a new program called OBS Studio.
Yeah, that's what we use to do our broadcast here on the YouTubes.
I'm 69 years old. Now you're telling me I got to, you know.
You can do it. You can do it, Bob.
You can do it. You can use one software package. You can use another.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Well, anyhow, I found a... Wi-Fi extender on, mm-hmm. of course, Amazon.
Yes.
And it does have a WAN LAN port.
Yeah.
Now, would that be the same if I plug my laptop into that? Would that, because I got a whole setup here in my office, you know, two monitors, a whole ball of wax.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the same as being hardwired?
I'll let Dennis whisper the answer to you.
No!
No, of course not.
Unfortunately, as a matter of fact.
The problem is, you know, I got a brand new house out here in Texas, and we don't have any cellular. I can drop a line down from my router, which is in the living room.
As it should be. It should be as a center part of your whole home, as important as your coffee maker.
There's no, and in fact, where my office is, when I have my cell phone, yeah, I have it in the corner of my desk. If I move 2 inches, I drop the call.
All right. So you're telling me if you're on a slab and you have no way to run. How about an attic? Any way to run the wire up in the attic and over and down?
I would probably miss where it would have to drop it. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not telling you to do that. Here's where you get an expert to do the wiring.
Right.
You should do it that way. But a hardwired connection will give you the best result. Especially if you're having issues, as you're talking about, dropping and what have you. So, you know, if you can't get a good solid connection to your Wi-Fi, the extenders are not that good. They can help, but to Dennis's point, they're not going to be that good.
As a matter of fact, it's worse than having Wi-Fi direct from an access point, because you're adding an additional leg to the trip.
Yeah.
Even if one of those legs is wired and extremely reliable, there's still a relay point in there, which is that extra extender.
Yeah.
And
right.
you're just adding overhead to your network connection. There's no way around that.
And getting a data drop done by having an electrician come out and do a data drop, it shouldn't be a big deal. And they should be able to use your attic to run that wire. Or it could run it through the wall, but you know that's going to be harder. But I would say the attic and drop it down and... get it within the cavity there, and it shouldn't be a big thing. And if you're going to sell a lot, now the problem is you got to make up all that cost of all the stuff you're selling.
I know, right? Well, that's a problem. And right now, they got to get out here at 6 o'clock in the morning because by 8, it's 150 degrees in my attic.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. So what are you selling there, Bob? What kind of products? Just curious.
I got baseball cards and stuff, you know.
So you go like to flea markets, buy the baseball card, and then you sell it to other unsuspecting suckers? I mean, customers on a... What? Is that
well,
what you...
Well, I used to have a store in Connecticut, you know, back in 90 and 92, and I still got some of that stuff left over. And,
really?
And,
a collectible store?
I buy them direct from the manufacturer.
Okay. So you're serious about
and
it.
I buy them from other dealers on whatnot and stuff. And well, I tell you, I went to a show the other day. There was 250 vendors.
Wow.
And there was only 20 baseball card dealers or sport card dealers, and all the rest were Pokemon dealers.
I was going to ask about Pokemon, yeah. It's crazy.
Or Magic the Gathering.
Or Magic, all that stuff, and it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, when my kids were into Pokemon, they were like, I don't know, they were maybe 10 or 12. They weren't even that old. Now, all of a sudden... People are spending it again. It's just like the tulip craze or Bitcoin. It's like anything else. I mean,
it changes around because, like I said, I had a store and I ran a show in Connecticut.
Yeah,
I ran a show for about 12 years in Connecticut. It was booming in the 90s.
Yeah,
and then 2002 came and it died.
Really?
I mean, the bottom fell out of it. And now it's back again. It's booming again. You know, I mean, but for sports cards, it's all high end stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I'm talking cards that cost $200, $250 and up.
Wow.
You know?
Well, the thing is, Bob, so I can't even watch sports anymore because you can't get it on TV anymore. You can't even find the game. So how do you become interested in a player if you can't even watch the game?
Because you got to buy ESPN at $150 a year or something like that.
It's,
you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's stupid. I mean, okay. Here's Nissan. You buy Nissan up there.
Yeah.
So when I moved down here, I call him up. Okay, I want it. Well, where you live? Texas. Oh, you can't have it.
I know. I have a place in Florida, and there's Nissan on there. But you can't get the games on in Florida. I was like, okay, I finally cracked the code. I've got Nissan down here, and I'll stream it back up in Connecticut. No, can't get it. You can't get the games.
What?
you can get the MLB package cheaper than Nissan is.
Yeah. It's a mess. Just trying to find sports, and you're trying to sell memorabilia of sports we can't watch.
I know. I share the MLB package with somebody else. So it's they get blocked out when they're playing the Astros.
I know.
And the Rangers down here, I get blacked out. I can't watch them.
You got to get Blumenthal on that. He fixed it for NFL. So
I know.
So, all right. Well, Bob, get hardwired if you can. It's really the best result. Or move your laptop into the living room when you're doing your auctions. And...
Oh, yeah. My wife would love that.
But, it's cool. I mean, we'd love to hear how it goes, and I hope you make $1 million selling your cards.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Then I'll move next to you in Florida.
There you go.
Next to your gated house in Florida. Gated community.
Only gators, not gated.
you're living in a gated community down there?
No.
Come on.
Heck no. No, we're just regular common folk.
Oh, okay.
All right, bye.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You got it. Bye-bye. Yeah, nothing gated where I live. So interesting. Whatnot, eBay. But if you have to have a good connection, it's the same thing even when you're doing like a big Teams meeting.
Yes.
You need enough bandwidth to have all that video processing. So when you get to a certain size, it's got to be a good connection. So if your sale relies upon the fact that you're running.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, if he's going to be making money at this.
Yeah.
Then spend a little money and do it right.
Get connected.
And have less to worry about.
Yeah.
And then you can sell your memorabilia.
Yeah, tool for the job. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number no matter where you're calling from. If you're calling from Texas, Florida, wherever it might be, it's the same number. If you use your cell phone, it shouldn't cost you anything extra. That's why we decided to do it. Why have a toll-free number anymore? You don't even need it. So thanks to VoiceOver IP. And we'll do our best to get Dennis's voice louder, but nothing we can do on the phone system.
Sorry.
It's the phone system. It's not the microphone. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Here till 11 o'clock. Did you see that commencement speaker who was talking about AI? He did. Carolyn saw that too, and everyone booed. All the students were like booing the whole concept of it. That's probably.
Oh, I guess I struck a chord.
Yeah, you see her talk. You sure did, honey. It's because it's white collar jobs that are being impacted, quote unquote, supposedly with AI. I mean, all the layoffs that are happening, they're blaming AI. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but the graduates did not appreciate that. Let's go on to Antoinette in Fairfield and see what she's got going on. Hey, Antoinette, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you? You're looking good on the YouTube.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Antoinette.
I have a question on a flash drive that I have been saving documents to. And all of a sudden, it has been having me not to save, and it wants me to write protect. I'm not too concerned because I have another major one, which is a Tetrabyte drive, the Lacey, but this is like a third one where I can back up certain things that I want, so I'll have like two backups.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's now, it's been for a couple of months, but I've said I needed to call today because I wanted the third backup. Why is it now asking me to write protect when I never had to do that before?
I don't know.
I can't imagine why it would ask you to write protect the drive. That doesn't make any sense.
It might be saying that it is write protected, and that might be why it won't let you save.
It's possible. That's what I'm thinking out loud right now.
Is that what you're getting? An error saying it's write protected and you can't save the file?
It's saying I need to write protect for me to save a file on there. I can't save anything on there. I can't even open anything I have already saved on there.
Okay, so it is telling you it's write protected, that's why you can't do it. This is a common bug on these things.
Oh, okay.
It could say, again, it could be showing you that it might even be failing, but you had to turn off the write protection that you might have inadvertently turned on.
Yes. But you say it could have happened after one of the updates, because it seemed like a couple of months ago when Microsoft did an update, that's when I started to have the problem.
And there could be a physical switch on these things. Do you have a little switch on the drive? Because sometimes that protects you from overwriting it.
I was looking for that, but I don't see a switch I could recognize as a switch. I don't see anything. Well, I've been looking at a couple of websites here, and I'm getting confused.
Yeah. And you may have to log in as an administrator, too. There's a couple of options here as far as logging into the Windows computer. And then you're going to be doing some drive maintenance on this thing.
Okay.
There's some third-party. Do you know what brand of USB it is? Because they probably have maintenance tools you could also download.
It says on the back here, NXT as in Thomas.
NXT is the brand. So that we'll try to find the NXT utilities for that USB drive for you and see if they have some tools that can help you look at the drive, maybe change the setting from Write Protect. But it may just be that it's failing itself.
It definitely can be a hardware problem in there, yeah.
And I'm really proud of you that you have multiple backups.
Yeah, right.
She's thinking like we are.
To keep my licenses and all that stuff together. And another question I had a couple of years ago when I learned about you guys, you were talking about Proton VPN.
Yeah.
I got a Proton VPN.
Nice.
And then I got maybe a year ago, this expired, but I never used it, even though I set it up. Proton Mail, but after signing up for Proton Mail, they wanted me to add VPN, and I said, and it seemed like they wanted to charge me for that, but I said, I already have Proton VPN, I still have time on it, and I never did the switch, I didn't know how to combine the two.
Yeah,
it was like I would have two VPNs of Proton if I did it.
It depends on how. Yeah, it depends on how you set up the accounts. You might have used a different email address when you did the Proton VPN, and now you've done a completely different email address for the Proton Mail, and they see possibly see two accounts. That's probably what's going on. If that makes sense.
Double check that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dennis.
I was going to say the way it typically works is when you, at least for the last couple of years, when you buy one Proton plan for something, it usually includes some of their other services. For instance, I have Proton Mail. I have a certain amount of usage in the VPN service. I also have a certain amount of storage in Proton Drive. And they may be just telling you that you've got this available, go ahead and use it. But I would look into what Eric is talking about, because you might have two different accounts here, and you don't want to juggle those. You want to get rid of one of them and just keep the other. So,
Exactly.
But you know that, Antoinette. We can help you with that one.
Okay, I have to double check on that, but I think I had it. I may have done that not knowing that I did that. I have to go back and look at my files. And one quick question. Every Sunday I have a program that I watch live. And for the past couple of months, since last fall, about an hour into the program, a little over maybe, and I have it both on my Apple laptop and my PC. So I can take the laptop around and walk, because it's usually 2 hours, so it's something I can listen to and walk around and do multitask. But on the PC only, in the hour, I get an OR snap, and it cuts off, and I have to reboot. But it's only on the PC, but not on the laptop.
An OR snap. Don't you love those?
I know. Isn't that? I just love those deeply informative error messages.
Yeah, and every time after the 1 hour period, it just
it seems like it's always about an hour. I'm getting that. I timed it last time so I can make a note to let you guys know.
What are you using to watch this show on the PC? Is it YouTube?
Yes, YouTube. It's in YouTube. Yes.
Okay. So you must be
both.
You might be hitting some sort of memory buffer that is filled up after the hour goes. Is your PC the old one that you've called in about before, and you've got the new Apple? It could be that you just have limited resources on that PC, or how old is that PC?
Oh, no, this PC is a couple of years old. It's fairly new. It hasn't been used, and it has over a terabyte. It has everything. It's a game PC. Yeah, so that's why I said this shouldn't be happening on the PC.
And you're using YouTube on Apple as well for the same exact show. So there must be a buffer of some kind. Dennis is doing some looking here to figure it out.
I'm looking that up too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can go look that up.
We'll look it up. We'll see if we can find something for you during the break here on why it would fill a buffer or give you an aw snap warning like that on YouTube. It really shouldn't, although I don't think I've ever watched anything longer than a few minutes on YouTube. So I've never tried an hour. I've never tried an hour video. So we'll have to see.
Okay, I have something to for you guys to think about with the AI. Now, I remember when the past, before AI became the new kid on the block.
Yeah, we got 30 seconds.
If I wanted to get some information on something, I can just put it in search and it'll give me the information. Wasn't I using AI?
Not really.
Anyway?
Not really. No, but I appreciate the question, but it's not quite the same thing as it is now, Antoinette. We got to go, though. We're hitting the break, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.